brazy, do the mumble like a crazy rhythm.
Welcome to another episode of the Electronic Game Reviews and More podcast. I am your host, Joe Amadeo, and today I will be reviewing the game Deltarune for Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and PC. Stay tuned. Welcome to the basic premise of the show. Deltarune is a game made by Toby Fox, and for those of you not familiar with Toby Fox, he is an independent game developer that created the game Undertale. Undertale came out several years ago, and in a matter of like weeks to months, the game became nothing short of a sensation, and it basically took the world by storm, and people all over played it. It was insanely popular, most notably for its theme. The theme is an RPG where nobody has to die. So Undertale took the world by storm, and tons of YouTubers played it and streamed it, and conspiracy theorists, video game conspiracy theorists like the game theorists, MatPat, he even like gave a copy of the game to the Pope, which is pretty funny. But the whole like point, like what made Undertale so popular? Why did it become this like video game cultural phenomenon? How did a single guy, Toby Fox, make this game from the ground up? How did that even happen? Well, I mean, that's a really good question. And I've read a lot of like interviews between like Toby Fox and like some big critics, and it's such an interesting story that over the years he always had that idea to make an RPG, and one day he just decided to do it. And he's actually a musician, but he taught himself how to program so that he could make Undertale. And Undertale was created in the Game Maker game engine, which has been around for more at least a decade, and it's pretty I mean, I'm a programmer, so I guess I'm kind of biased here, but as far as game engines go, it's a pretty like simple engine in terms of like drag and drop interface. It's a really good way to get yourself into making video games if you've never made them before. So it's easy to learn, but it's hard to master because it may be drag and drop, but then you can also learn how to program within it. And it's usually Game Maker is usually used as like an introductory engine for it for that purpose. And Undertale, you know, it's not a graphically intense game. The gameplay is not intense. I mean, it's an RPG, but the whole gameplay of it is that it's an avoider. And avoider, I don't know if whoever's listening, if you've played like mouse avoider games in the past, or like avoid the walls or avoid this. That's pretty much what it is. It's like a bullet hell avoiding game, but an RPG. So Toby Fox made Undertale several years ago, and it took the world by storm, and the game had multiple endings. It had a pacifist ending, which I believe is canon. It also had a neutral ending, and then it had a genocide ending. And what makes the game interesting is that the player could basically go through any of these endings, and you could go back and like change it, but the game remembers that you did that. So, and it's not just that, like, if you're playing the game, Toby Fox was really clever in his design here, but, what he did was, let's say, for example, you play the game and you go to the first boss, and like I said, this is the RPG where nobody has to die. So let's say you kill that boss and you saw that event, but then let's say you'd want to go back and see what would have happened if you didn't kill that boss. You save scum, so you reload the save file to before you killed the boss. And the game knows you did that, and it actually calls you out on it, telling you, hey, we know you killed this boss. We know you're coming back. Like, we know that you're a killer. And it's just funny because the game is sprinkled with all kinds of, like, references to saving and loading a game, and it's very meta, and that's what I think makes Undertale such a wildly successful game, is that it's very meta, it breaks the fourth wall a lot, and it talks to the player in lots of ways. But not just that, it also is a game about morality. It's about the idea of, you know, why does every video game RPG have to be about killing? Why can't we, you know, talk our way out of a battle or have fun with a monster instead of just constantly massacring them? And I will admit that when I first played Undertale, I got a neutral ending because I was thinking, well, maybe I can just, you know, get this monster and then I can just pacify all the rest of them. And, you know, it got me thinking about the whole idea of playing an RPG and pacifying my way through the entire game. And that's what I did. I went back and I pacifized it the whole game through, and I basically beat the game on level one, which is totally possible. But anyway, Undertale is a really good game, and I highly recommend that you go out and you get it. It's an amazing game, and it definitely will make you feel a lot of things that you've never felt before, and it'll challenge the way you see RPGs. Tangent aside, Deltarune is a whole new ballpark. It is the spiritual successor to Undertale, but it takes place, as far as we know, in a different universe, where the characters are the same, but they're different. They don't have the same jobs or the same, histories or character arcs. Even the character you play as is different. There's a lot of different things going on here. So you have the same characters, you have the same, you have the same living spaces and everything, but everything's different. It's almost like you're in a different universe. But that's pretty much what the basic premise of Deltarune is. The game came out on October 31st, 2018 for computers and Mac, I think. But it didn't make its Nintendo Switch PlayStation 4 debut until February 28th, 2019. The user score on Metacritic for the game is 8.8, which is pretty high, and the Metacritic score at the moment is 100%, but it's only based on one critic review, so I'm guessing that might change in the future when future chapters of the game come out. Yep, you heard me right. Deltarune is only releasing their first chapter, and it is 100% free. So if you go to the PlayStation 4 store or the Nintendo store or your PC, the game is free for you to try. And you're not paying anything else. It's not free to play and then you pay for something. The whole first chapter of the game is free. Toby Fox did say that he's not sure when chapter 2 will be out, so we're going to have to wait for that. Continue on and I'll go on to the basic plot. So you heard me talk about Undertale for about 5 minutes in the basic premise. So now I bet you're wondering, all right, well, we heard about Undertale, so what's Deltarune about? And here's where I have to go back to Undertale. Undertale was a game where the player plays as a human who fell down into a cave. And it turns out that this cave is actually another world. And it's a place called the Underground, I guess, and all these monsters live down there, and they're trying to get themselves back up to the surface. Only problem is a war happened several years before the events of the game, and the monsters were banished to the underground. And the reason for this is because something happened and involving a human, and the monsters now fear the humans. And this little boy comes down to the cave, and he's a human. So now the monsters are not really sure what to think of this, and the boy is trying to make himself escape. He's trying to get himself out of there, and what happens then is pretty much up to you. If you want to fight the monsters, if you want to befriend them, if you want to make them, if you want to massacre them, that's pretty much your choice. Undertale is a very short game. It's about 5 to 6 hours, depending on what playthrough you're trying to go for. But the game is, for the most part, very simple. Like I said, it's like an avoider, it's a bullet hell kind of game. But that's kind of the whole basic premise. If you decide to pacifist your way through the game, you'll make a lot of friends, you'll like learn more about the kingdom and about the story and everything. If you decide to neutral end your way through it, you might not learn as much information, but you might get an interesting ending. And if you massacre your way through the game, you'll also get a very interesting ending, which I'm too afraid to do that, but I've watched YouTube videos and it's very interesting, very scary. That being said, what is Deltarune? What's Deltarune about? So Deltarune is a game where you play as, well, okay, it's kind of, I'm going to go into spoiler territory. So if you haven't played Deltarune yet, be aware that I'm spoiling the beginning of the game, but that's it. So the beginning of the game, you get asked if you're connected, which is really weird because that's not something that hasn't happened in Undertale. So you're asking if you're getting connected. And then this mysterious thing, this mysterious voice, or not, it's not even a voice, it's just like a text on a screen asking you, once you're connected, to create a persona, to create a character. So in the beginning of the game, you're creating this character, you're customizing their looks, their hair, basically what they look like. And you even have to customize like what their favorite color is, what emotions do you associate with them. Do you love them? Do you hate them? Just very basic things like that. And then lastly, you get to name the character, and then you get to name the creator, which is yourself, I guess, if you want it to be. Very interesting, though, how Toby did that. And then once you finish creating this character, the game says, all right, well, this character you created, they are now going to be discarded, deleted, erased. Yep. So that character you spent creating and spending all that time customizing them, they just got deleted. So what does this mean? Why would Toby make this character creation tool all for the purpose of deleting a character? Well, this is the new theme of Deltarune. In Deltarune, you don't get to make the choices. You don't have a choice in this game. So what ends up happening is the screen fades to white and you wake up and you are Chris. Chris, I believe, is an androgynous character, so we don't really know if they're a boy or a girl. I'm assuming it's a boy, but maybe just because I'm a guy, I'm assuming that, but I really don't know. So Chris, for all intents and purposes, I'm going to say Chris is a he. But basically, though, Chris is this boy, and he wakes up in this bedroom, and the bedroom is it's a bedroom, but there's two beds. And on the right side of the room is Chris's bed. And it's kind of like, how could I put this? It's not very tidy. It's dirty almost. There's not really a lot of personality to it. It's just darker. It's more mysterious almost. And then on the left side of the room, you have this like clean, perfect little like tidy bed, and there's like trophies on the wall and plaques and there's stars all over and there's like a pictures and it's like, it's pretty, it's very nice. And it's just a very nice little area of the room. And if you go up to it, you'll see like a lot of cool stuff there. And there's even a picture frame, I think, of, and then if you go into the picture frame and look at it, there's, I think you find out that that's your brother. And apparently your brother, your older brother, is off to college. So it's kind of interesting because already, I mean, for me at least, I'm getting these vibes that you have an older brother and he's this very star student. He's very successful. He's a very nice person. He's, you know, making a name for himself. And here you are living under his shadow. And, you know, Chris doesn't have any trophies. He doesn't have anything really. And he seems almost like reclusive. And it's just interesting because you have this older brother who's doing all these amazing things, and then you have all these high expectations, and then, you know, there's Chris, who isn't perfect. He isn't, you know, this successful character. He's just this, we don't really know what to think, what to make of him. We're not really sure. So we leave the bedroom, and we go, and we find out that this is Toriel's house. And Toriel is a main character from Undertale, and basically she's your mother, which is kind of the same idea from Undertale, but for those of you who didn't play Undertale, basically she's your mom. She's your adopted mother. So Toriel is a school teacher, and she drives you and her to school. But when you get to school, you go to class, and the teacher, Alphys, who's a character from Undertale, but I won't go into that, she's assigning a group project, and you get to pick a classmate to be your partner. So you go around the room talking to characters from Undertale, and but if you didn't play Undertale, it's no big deal. Just talk to them. And what's interesting is that, going back to that whole idea of you don't have a choice, there's nobody in the room that you can choose to be your partner. So who ends up being your partner? Well, you decide to go to PA group of three, and before that can happen, a new student comes in, and her name is Susie. And Susie, you, by your first impression of her at least, she has like these ripped jeans. She kind of has like this like very intimidating look to her. And she comes in, the teacher Alphy says, "All right, Chris, well, I'm pairing you with Susie." Turns out, though, that Susie is actually a bully, and she bullies you. So anyway, what's up with that? Like, you're getting paired up with this girl who actually ends up being a bully for you. One of the first tasks that you get to do with Susie is going to get some chalk for the chalkboard. So, you and Susie make your way to the classroom, or I'm sorry, the storage closet where the chalk is. And as soon as you open the door, you both notice something very strange. The door has no lights, or I should say the closet has no lights. And even weirder, it just keeps going on and on and on. It's like this closet that just doesn't stop going on. All of a sudden the floor drops and it starts dropping and dropping. And you and Susie are like, "Hey, what's going on?" You both fall, and when you wake up, you are in the world of dark. The world of dark is this mysterious place, supposedly under the school, where you're not really sure why you're there, I guess, to begin with. But eventually, after some exploring, you find Susie, and then you both keep exploring, and then you find Rousey. And Rousey is a prince of the dark world, and he basically, I think Rousey is a he, tells you that he's been waiting for you and Susie for a long time, and that it's part of a prophecy. And the prophecy is that three heroes, a human, a monster, and a prince, are going to save the world of the dark. And basically, you're going to save the world by destroying a fountain, a dark fountain that appears out of nowhere. I don't know. It's this crazy prophecy that happens, and you're trying to figure out how to get, basically how to bring balance back to the world again. So that's pretty much what the story of Deltarune is. You're exploring the dark world, you're going in and you're doing all this stuff, and you're basically trying to bring balance to the world again. But then you're also trying to go home. I mean, all you were doing was getting chalk. I mean, and now you're going to save the world. So it's a very interesting story, very different from Undertale as well. Because Undertale had this different like theme going on, where this is a new theme. One of the more interesting pieces about Deltarune, though, is that the whole idea of not wanting to be the hero. And Chris, you know, he's willfully, you as Chris, is willfully taking this role as the hero. But Susie is neglecting that role. She doesn't want it. Not even neglecting. She's just flat out refusing it. Susie would rather play through this role as the villain. And she actually, at one point, chooses that she'd rather have more fun and be more in the role of somebody that would be a villain rather than helping. And even though she's with you and she's on your team, she is going to just do everything she can to just annoy you, I guess. So, like, remember how I told you that Undertale had this whole focus of being a game about pacifying and, you know, the game where nobody has to die and you have that choice? Well, Susie doesn't give you the choice to pacify enemies. So, unfortunately, when you go into a battle, Susie is going to do everything she can to attack and kill all the enemies. So what do you have to do? You have to manipulate the situation or enemies by warning them or by basically just manipulating Susie herself into not killing things, which is a challenge, but it's also really fun because it's new and different and exciting. Anyway, this is gameplay territory, but anyway, The whole premise of Deltarune is that it's this grand adventure, it's a hero's journey, almost like an anti-hero's journey, and it's just a really fun experience. And I think that I'm not going to spoil anything else, but basically, for the 3 or 4 hours that I got with it, it's a really good story. There's a lot of emotions going on. Very, very great tale. And, you know, it's very emotional in a lot of ways, too. And I really like the story. It sticks in my head a lot. And up until the very end, you're always going to find yourself in this situation where you're just questioning what's going on, what's happening. Overall, I liked the story of Deltarune, and I really can't wait to see what Toby Fox has up his sleeve for chapters 2, and so on and so forth. Welcome to the gameplay section of Deltarune. For those of you that have never played Undertale before, I will go into a very brief discussion on what Undertale is, and then hopefully you'll be able to understand how the gameplay in Deltarune works. Undertale is a classified JRPG, which basically means Japanese role-playing game. Undertale grabs a lot of references to popular JRPGs currently on the market, and it also spins off things of its own. Toby Fox does a really good job at creating new, exciting gameplay, specifically related to choice. At the beginning of the game, players get the option to create a character and name them. Once they name them, though, they're set off onto their own story. The big layer of choice here is the way the player decides to battle. There's a pacifist route where you don't have to kill anything, a neutral route where you kill some things, and then a genocide route where you basically just wipe out anything that comes your way. It's completely up to the player to decide what choice they would like to make, and they have to kind of stick with it earlier on, because if you go from pacifist to neutral, you're pretty much stuck in the neutral. You can't really go any further than that. But anyway, Undertale is a very narrative-driven storyline. So you have these choices you're making, morality-wise, and then you have these story elements that happen, where you're getting to know these characters through dialogue. Battles in Undertale are avoiders. So you have the choice of either fighting an enemy, which involves a quick time event, depending on how well you do in the quick time event, you'll deal damage, or you can act on an enemy, which involves like talking to them, giving them a hug, flirting with them, telling them a joke, singing with them. There's a lot of available actions you can do with an enemy, but they're very context specific. So you can't like just hug every enemy you see. It's really usually dependent on what enemy you're fighting against. If you make the enemy happy or sad or whatever desired emotion evokes from the enemy, then you'll have the option to mercy them, which in that case, you can finish the battle. They leave, you leave. Sometimes you get money from it, but if you decide to mercy them, you don't get any experience points. So it is entirely possible to complete Undertale without gaining a single level. And it's actually intentional. One of the game's best endings is the pacifist route, which you can play, which is basically just playing the entire game, killing nothing. I highly recommend people that have played Undertale to try a neutral ending, a pacifist ending, and if they want to, a genocide ending, but I mean, I didn't do the genocide ending because I love the characters. I don't want to massacre all of them. But yeah, I think a neutral ending and a pacifist ending is perfect. So going back to battles, I briefly mentioned that the game is an avoider. And an avoider means you're controlling an on-screen heart, which if it comes into contact with a bullet, which in this case could be anything, It could be bullets are basically anything that is white. So if you come across anything that's white, it will cause damage to your character. You use the analog stick or the ASD F keys, I believe, to or ASDW keys to avoid these bullets. So when it comes to battles, a lot of it comes down to memorizing the enemy attack patterns, which could range depending on which enemy you're fighting. Enemies, though, are pretty predictable, and if you memorize these attack patterns, you should have no problem at all breezing through the game. But that's the whole challenge, which is memorizing these attack patterns. You can go through a battle attacking enemies, and then you'll probably skip a lot of these moments because you're killing them. But if you really take the time to pacify these enemies, then you'll probably go through a lot of bullet hell. But that is pretty much the gameplay of Undertale. So now that you know that, what's the gameplay in Deltarune? Deltarune is very similar to Undertale. You still are creating a character and naming them. You're still going through battles and given the option to pacify or kill enemies. So that's all still there. The only difference is that where in the first game, your battle actions meant something, this time around, it's more so, how could I put this? It's not really the focus anymore. It doesn't really matter if you kill an enemy or if you neutralize them through via actions. It will impact the ending a little bit, but for the most part, it doesn't really make a big difference. And the whole reason for that is because Deltarune, the theme is your choices don't matter. So it doesn't really matter if you want to massacre enemies. It doesn't really matter if you want to pacify them and act with them. Yes, like I said, though, it will impact the ending, but the ending is usually the same regardless of what you do. So the whole like theme from Undertale of like making that choice goes away, because and now it turns into a whole gameplay element. So players that like to attack can still attack. Players that like to pacify can still pacify. It's more of like a means to an end. It doesn't really matter what you do. What makes Deltarune a little bit different than Undertale, though, is that you're now managing a party. In Undertale, you controlled a single character, and the game battles were first person, which means that when you jumped into a battle, you were only looking at the enemy or at the character. In Deltarune, though, they switched it up a bit, and you see the character you play as, you see your party members as well. So you'll see Susie, the bully character I briefly mentioned before, and Rousey, which is another character that you'll meet when you play. So, Chris, the main character that you play as, I'm going to continue calling it a he, calling him or her a he. He has different actions, but they're all based on like acts that he could do. He can also attack. Susie is programmed to basically attack all the time. So if you really want to play the game and act your way through it and pacify so you can get the best possible ending, you're going to have to think of clever ways to make sure that Susie does not kill enemies on accident. How do you do that? Well, one way is by warning enemies. When Chris's turn comes up, you can choose to warn enemies that Susie's going to attack them. And then the guard will be up, so whenever Susie attacks, then the enemy will dodge it. But the problem happens is when enemies can't speak English. There's a few situations where enemies don't understand the English language, so Chris has to think of a better way to manipulate enemies, or even Susie herself. Because you don't get to control Susie. Susie has a mind of her own, she does her own thing. So what can Chris do? Well, he can put her to sleep. Apparently, Rousey has a lullaby action that lets Susie go to sleep, so you can actually make her sleep for a turn. But unfortunately, Rousey's lullaby is only available after defending, so you're going to have to think of clever ways to get the opportunity to put Susie to sleep. But until then, you have to kind of like mess around with the battle system and kind of almost protect these enemies if that's your goal. If your goal is just to massacre and kill them, then that's fine too, but if you're trying to really get that best ending, you're going to have to think of ways to solve these puzzles. And that's kind of what makes Deltarune a fun game. Every battle you go into turns into this puzzle where it's like, all right, I know Susie is going to attack, so what can I do to make sure she doesn't? And then how can we get this battle out of the way? And then not only that, but enemies are also attacking you. So even though you're protecting these enemies, they're also going to attack you. And then that's when the game goes into this bullet hell where you're dodging bullets and you're going crazy doing all the other things. So that's what makes Deltarune very different from Undertale, where you're managing this party. Oh, and then lastly, Rousey is like you. Rousey will basically accept anything you tell him to do. So that's pretty much the gameplay of Deltarune. You're exploring this vast world of the Dark World. You're finding items, you're going to shops, you're buying new gear, you're upgrading your characters. When you go into battle, you are basically dodging bullets and then deciding if you want to attack your way through it or act your way through it. And then you're basically playing through the story. Throughout Deltarune, there's a lot of story-heavy moments, narrative-driven moments, where the characters will kind of have, like, falling outs with each other. I mean, after all, you have these three young characters, and they're all, like, I guess maybe middle school, teenage characters. And, you know, it's a very interesting world where a lot of things go down. So, there's a lot of, like, moments in the game where you're expecting maybe a battle to happen, and then it turns out something different happens. And that's kind of the whole theme of Undertale, where the game kind of, like, shatters expectations and kind of just goes into a land of its own where you're like, wait, this is happening? So for that, I have to applaud Deltarune for always changing up its gameplay, always trying new things. Sometimes you'll go into a battle and you're expecting something to happen, like a typical bullet storm, and then it turns out that something different happens. And it might involve pressing a button to rearrange something, or dodging a motorcycle, or like just doing some really interesting, weird things that I've never seen in Undertale before. But that's what I love about the gameplay of Deltarune. It's just so different in so many ways, and it's refreshing too. And that's pretty much my whole review of the gameplay of Deltarune. It's spot on. It's very well done. Toby did a great job. I still can't believe it's been 3 years, so I can't even imagine how much time he's put into 3 years of the Game Maker engine and working with Deltarune. I really can't wait for Chapter 2. I know I said that before like 3 times already. But yeah, the gameplay is spot on, very well done, and if you continue listening, you'll hear the soundtrack portion of the show. Welcome to the soundtrack portion of Deltarune. If you never listened to any of Toby Fox's music before, then I highly recommend that you stop listening to my podcast and go to your whatever you listen to music on, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes Music, and type in Toby Fox, or even Google it, whatever you want to do, and listen to some of the Undertale soundtrack. Toby Fox composed the music all himself because I believe he's also a musician. He's a musician as well as a programmer. His music is really cool. It sounds a lot like something you would hear in an NES or SNES game. Very old school, but he also integrates modern musical instruments within the games as well. So like you'll hear guitar, you might hear piano, you'll hear a lot of cool in the newer game in Deltarune, you'll hear saxophone. I mean, it's really cool how he integrates all these musical instruments in his games, but then he also tries to keep the nostalgia of the 16-bit sounding music, and you'll get these vibes a lot when you play through Undertale. Deltarune follows that same formula, but I noticed that the game has a very distinct theme, and when I first listened to the Deltarune like melody, it's really weird because I don't know if anybody else out there like thinks the same thing, but it sounds a lot like the theme to Beauty and the Beast. And I'm gonna leave a clip at the end of the show of the Deltarune like melodies, and you can hear it for yourself. But Remember, if you ever watch Beauty and the Beast, one of the theme songs is Beauty and the Beast, of course, and it goes, Beauty and the Beast. But it's weird because Deltarune kind of does the same thing, and there's no words, but it has that same like little melody where it goes, na-na-na-na-na-na, and it's just faster. So, but it's just weird because it's interesting listening to a song like the Deltarune melody, and it just sounds so similar to Beauty and the Beast. So now whenever I listen to Deltarune music, I'm like, oh my gosh, this sounds so much like Beauty and the Beast. I had a friend tell me once that in theater, there's something called the 60% rule, where you're allowed to take up to 60% of someone's work or someone's art, but then that 40% has to be different. And if any of you listeners are in theater out there and I butchered that definition or that meaning, feel free to correct me and I'll correct that definition in future episodes. But I think Toby might have used the 60% rule at play here, where he's kind of grabbing melodies from Beauty and the Beast and he's kind of incorporating it and twisting it a little bit to make it sound faster and different. And it sounds great. I mean, I love it. I love listening to this melody. It's beautiful. And I highly recommend anybody that hasn't played Deltarune to maybe listen to the soundtrack. But I also have to warn you, if you do listen to the soundtrack, the titles are very spoiler heavy. So make sure that you know what you're getting yourself into before you listen to the soundtrack, before you play the game. But yeah, I mean, the soundtrack of Deltarune is very unique. It's very memorable. It sounds like a musical. I mean, the very beginning of the game kind of has like this creepy vibe where you're like in the middle of nowhere and it has like this piano. It reminds me a lot of Willy Wonka a little bit, where it's kind of like you have like this piano that's like in the background and it's all you hear. It's very unique. And then you have like this opening song, which pretty much grabs the theme from Undertale, but it kind of twists it and turns it into this like, it almost sounds like a musical, to be honest. Like you have this like stringed instrument sounding like instruments, you have piano, and then you have like the Undertale theme, but then you have it remixed into the Deltarune theme, which has this very Beauty and the Beast sound to it. And I don't know, it's really, really good. The school theme, for example, when you're trying to pick out a partner, it sounds a lot like something you'd hear in a Nintendo game. Just very gamey, very, very 16-bit. When you go into the dark world and you hear like the legendary song, it just sounds so perfect and so video gamey. And the battle theme, Rude Buster, it's really, really good. I actually like it a lot better than Enemy Approaching from Undertale. It's very lively and upbeat, and it works perfectly. Even like the fanfare when a character joins your party, it just sounds so perfect. And I like how Fox uses music and sound effects as a way to enhance the story a bit. Like the fanfare, you add a new party member, it'll say something like, Susie got added to the party, and you'll hear like na 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 na, and it's like this really like lolly thing. And then I remember like Rousey will say something really dorky, and then it'll do the fanfare theme again. But Susie then will like, it'll say something like, Susie joined the party, but she's moving farther away so that she's not associated with the party. And then the theme of fanfare is still playing, and it's just really funny because it tries to break out like the tropes of typical RPGs. And Toby Fox does a really good job at deconstructing the RPG. As far as like other music goes, if you were to ask me what are my favorite songs in the game, I would have to say Field of Hopes and Dreams. That one is amazing. It's a song that you listen to when you're, I think it's actually called The Field of Hopes and Dreams. It's a song you hear very early on in the game. Very nice. It's very cool. It's very upbeat. I also liked The Scarlet Forest, which was also a very pretty song. It had like a very stringy instrument vibes, and then you hear like these are all travel themes, which I really liked. Undertale for some reason just always seems to have really good overworld theme songs, and Scarlet Forest and Field of Hopes and Dreams were just absolutely wonderful. I also liked the Lancer theme a lot. Lancer is one of the antagonists early on in the game, and if you choose him for him to be. And his music theme song kind of reminds me of something you would hear in a casino, or something you would hear like if Bowser was if Bowser went inside the Undertale universe. It's a very it's a very distinct theme, and it sounds, like I said, it sounds like something you would hear in a casino. And that's pretty much one of my favorite themes in the game. But yeah, I'm trying to think. Another theme I liked a lot was Susie's theme. It has a very guitar heavy centric theme, and you can just tell by the way when you're listening to it that it's very depressing, but it's also very there's a lot of action to it. And I really enjoyed listening to Susie's theme a lot because it's slow, and it's not till one specific part in the game later on where you listen to it and you're like, wow, this is intense. But overall, I loved the soundtrack of Deltarune. Overall, it's about 40 minutes in length total compared to Undertale, which was about, I think, 2.5-3 hours. But this is only chapter one of Deltarune, so I'm guessing we're going to get way more music later on when Toby Vox releases chapter two. But the music was amazing. Toby, thank you for coming up with an amazing soundtrack. It's beautiful. And I am just... it's such an inspiration to hear great music like this. I can't even imagine how much time you must have taken to go through all these songs and constantly edit them and make sure they sound good and reaching out to people and getting their opinions. Making a game and making a soundtrack is a really hard process, especially because, you know, making a song, music evokes so many emotions and so many things, and it's... Toby does a very effective, appropriate job, and it comes across that way very well in Deltarune. So, fantastic job. I really cannot wait to hear more. Continue on, and I'll go over to the suggestion part of the show. Welcome to the suggestion part of the show. Here is where, if I have any bug reports, I will mention any bugs that I found. It's also a place for me to talk about any suggestions that I have for the developers. I don't have any bugs to report on Deltarune. Toby did a very good job at polishing his game, and as a result, it's very, very well done. As far as suggestions go, it's hard for me to make a good suggestion because after playing Undertale and realizing that Toby kind of goes his own way and sometimes even breaks his own game logic to prove a point or to work within the means of his story, it's hard to really make a suggestion because it's such an interesting experience, Undertale and Deltarune. But a few suggestions that I have are really minor. One of the first suggestions that I have for the game is the idea of the secret bosses and the means of how to find it. The game has backtracking, and the only reason why you should backtrack is to find a few extra pieces to get to unlock a secret boss. And I feel like the methods used to find the pieces you need to unlock the boss were a little bit out there. You'll see a chest in a room, and then the game doesn't really give you any indication that, or any really routes of how you can get to that chest. And Undertale kind of had a similar problem where the game doesn't really give you any clues or any idea of how to get that. And it's disappointing because the secret boss's song is one of the most popular songs in the entire game. And then you're kind of giving players this situation where they're having a hard time even finding it. And to me, that's kind of annoying because, I get it. I get that you're trying to hide these things and make them unique and, making them secrets. But at the same time, if you're not giving players anything to work with, how are they going to find it? I mean, I know that you have data miners and you have hackers or people that are going to go into the game and look into the code and see what they can find. But I don't know. I think there's a lot, there's probably a lot better ways to do something like this and not have it be so cheap, where it's like, oh, this area has a hidden floor and you wouldn't know any better. I mean, you would have to, I mean, I can't even imagine how many hours it would have taken me to find the hidden path. I mean, I had to go online and look it up because I was like, oh, wow, that's the solution to get this piece. I had to find a hidden floor in this area, and there's no indication at all that this is what that this is the right one. So it's like, I was just not a fan of that. And Toby Fox, if you're listening, please consider like maybe adding visual cues or some kind of representation to let the player know perhaps that this is what they have to do. Or maybe like once they get the quest, for example, so like once they accept the quest, maybe have like a visual cue in that environment show up, just to give the player a hint, because yeah, it doesn't, I don't know, I've been trying to think of other ways to make this easier, but it just, I mean, I understand, I mean, that's the other thing too, like, this isn't a secret in the sense that you're hiding, you know, some Undertale themes from the first game, or you're hiding, this is an actual boss that you can play, and it's part of the gameplay. So I don't know, I'm a little undecided on how that should be approached, and I think that Toby could have done a better job with getting the pieces you need to get that boss, but yeah, that's just one thing. Another suggestion that I have has to do more with the story itself. So when the game starts, it asks you that if you played Undertale before, and if you have, then you can continue playing, and if you haven't, then to go check it out. But one thing I was just confused about was that when you get near the end of the game, you'll have the option to continue exploring like the town and stuff. And there's a lot of pieces to Undertale that are just very interesting. And I don't want to spoil it, but it's just when you play it, if you played Undertale and then you're going into Deltarune, there's a lot of unanswered questions. And when you finish chapter one, there's just so much left unanswered, and honestly, the ending confused the hell out of me. I watched The Game Theorist on YouTube, I watched a few other theory videos from other YouTubers, and I've seen like their opinions, but I don't know what to think. I mean, this whole ending and the whole idea of you not having a choice and everything, it just, I don't understand what the direction Toby's going with this. And I'm very confused. I got like the Chronicles of Narnia vibes, like Jumanji vibes a bit, but I don't know. I mean, and trust me, those are not spoilers. Those are just vibes that I got. I don't know. And I'm concerned about the direction that the game is going and how that's going to impact the plot later on. But anyway, one other suggestion that I have is if you're going to introduce a feature like having a party member continuously attack and, you know, making the player think of clever ways to like solve puzzles, I like that in the first chapter you kind of resolve that arc, but having played the ending, I have some like theories of my own, but I really hope that you do continue going down that route where you're giving players like this system where they don't necessarily have all the choices, where like in the very first half of the game the player doesn't have the choice of what to tell Susie to do, but then near the second half of the game they do have that choice, but then something else happens. So Toby, I hope that if you're listening, I hope that you do something similar with the second chapter, where you're kind of like giving the player limited choice, or incorporating that in battles somehow. And I'm very curious to see how that comes about in the future. But other than that, that's pretty much all I got. I mean, Deltarune and Undertale are fantastic games. From a game developer's standpoint, I mean, they are super inspirational, and I can only hope that my future indie game can be just as effective as these two amazing games. But that's pretty much all the suggestions I have, for now at least. And if whoever's listening, continue on, and I will move over to the final verdict of the game. Welcome to the verdict section of the show. Here is where I will give you my final thoughts surrounding the first chapter of the game. I loved Deltarune. I think it was an amazing first chapter. It was a great start into the spiritual successor to Undertale. I like that the game kind of has like this new universe where if you never played Undertale, players that are jumping into Deltarune can kind of just explore this new world and not have to feel like they are forgetting or feel like they're not getting that same experience. Even though, because that's what makes the whole idea of like this different universe so cool and something that's never really explored in media and movies and shows, like this whole idea of another universe where all the characters are the same but they maybe have different personalities, different sexual orientations, different plots are happening. And I like that idea a lot, and I really enjoy the fact that Toby Fox is doing this because it's a really cool plot point that's never really been explored very much. And I really am excited to see what Toby Fox does with this. The game was a short experience, about 3 to 4 hours in length total. But it does have a lot of replay value. I mean, even if you complete the same choices over and over again, I feel like Deltarune is a short enough game that if you play it once, you might want to go back and play it again and reread what you missed or get that extra like tidbit of information you may have not have noticed. That's what I think makes Deltarune a very effective game as well, that it's a mystery. It's kind of a mystery too, where the player is trying to get all this information and figure out what that whole like overarching plot is happening. And that's another reason why the game is classified as a JRPG. Japanese role-playing games and Japanese anime, they always have like these big overarching plots and these giant plot twists. And that's what makes the charm of Undertale really big for a lot of people, because there's always this like big plot twist. There's always this big theme going on that is usually revealed near the end. So I really like Deltarune's first chapter a lot. It introduced a very interesting plot twist near the end. And now we're probably going to have to wait another 3 years for Toby to release Chapter 2, which I'm totally fine with because, you know what? Deltarune was awesome. I will gladly play it again and again and again. Love the music. I still listen to it on Spotify all the time. but yeah, overall, I loved Deltarune. I loved the characters. I think that Susie is a great new character. I like Chris a lot and Rousey. They're all really, really cool. For those of you... I recommend Undertale and Deltarune both for pretty much anybody. It's a very open game, very easy to play. Deltarune is free, so maybe give it a try, see if you like it. You don't have to play Undertale to understand what's going on in Deltarune, but I do recommend that you probably buy Undertale and give it a try. Play through it, try to do a pacifist ending, try to get that like great ending. Undertale is a short game. It's about 6 hours in length or so. Deltarune's even shorter, like I said, 3 to 4 hours. But overall, I really enjoyed my experience at Deltarune, and I highly recommend anybody anybody that's a fan of RPGs or a fan of bullet avoiding, you'll probably love both of these games. And also anybody that likes a good emotional story that has a lot of themes with like family and Deltarune and Undertale have very, how could I put this? It's almost something you'd see out of like a Disney movie or like a Pixar movie or a DreamWorks movie, even though the graphics are not the best. And I mean, I'm one to say that. I mean, I have an indie game coming out and my graphics look terrible. But my point is that the themes and the emotions that they evoke, they're so powerful in these games that, I mean, it's like reading a book. Like getting invested into a really good book and like, feeling for these characters, you'll get that a lot out of both of these games. And I think that if you jump into Deltarune or jump into Undertale and then Deltarune, you'll really get that sense. And I highly recommend both of these games. Welcome to the show updates portion of the show. So there you have it. That is my conclusion of Deltarune. So what is on the horizon for the Electjonic Game Reviews and More podcast? I know I haven't been doing as many updates that I should be, but that's because I want to finish the games that I'm playing. And that way I can give you a better understanding of the game in completion. So I apologize for the not as quick updates, but just know that I am still playing some games. I have been pretty busy lately when it comes to like work and passion projects, and of course that stuff takes a huge priority. But when I'm not doing that stuff, then I, for fun, am doing this podcast. So I appreciate any of you out there that are listening to my show and have been waiting for my content, and thank you for sticking around. I will be reviewing Resident Evil 7 next. I completed the game recently, and I have a really cool review planned for it, and I will also probably review the DLC for it now that I'm playing it. And on the horizon even further, we will see. There are so many games to play, not enough time. So as always, though, if you have anything that you want me to try playing, please let me know through either the Anchor app or through the Discord. I'm also on Patreon, so if you would like to support the show, you can, which gives you access to the Discord. Only as little as a dollar, so if you'd like to, feel free to throw some your way. It is highly appreciated. Other than that, though, thanks again for listening, and stay tuned for more awesome content from yours truly. Once again, I am your host, Joe Amadeo, and this is the Electronic Game Reviews and More podcast, signing off for now. Have a good day, evening, night, whatever. See you next time. Do the mumble like a crazy rhythm.